Morning. Today's daf from Krisus is daf Dal. We are on Gimel Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. And we are trying to make sense of the list, the Mishnah in the beginning of the Masechta. Gave us a list of the 36 Krisus in the Torah. There are 36 times where a person violates one of the Yisurim of the Torah and subject to the Kari's penalty. We already pointed out numerous times that the number 36 is not exhaustive. It's certainly not an exhaustive list because just take Shabbos as a simple example. So for Shabbos, there are 39 malachas. There are 39 opportunities to be chayv on 39 separate chatos. And meanwhile, Shabbos in our Mishnah is listed as one. So obviously, when the Mishnah says 36 and it only lists Shabbos and just Shabbos, so obviously within Shabbos you have another 39. Avodah Zarah, just as another example. So Avodah Zarah is not just one. There are four different ways in one can be Ovid Avodah Zarah, resulting in four different chataos. That's just another simple example. So certainly not an exhaustive list, but nevertheless the list is of 36. For a moment in time, the Gemara thought that maybe the list represents one person's ability to bring 36 different karmen chataos. Obviously, that's also really difficult because at the end of the Mishnah, you have two mitzvah sesa, you have two positive commandments. A mitzvah of milah, the mitzvah of karmen pesach. So there is no karmen chataos for either of those. Failure to bring a karmen pesach, failure to do a bris milah. Does result in karis, but does not result in a karmen chatas. It's not a lav. So once again, so we know. We know that the Mishnah's list is not exhaustive, but nevertheless, the Mishnah comes up with a list of 36. When it comes to certain yisurim that are listed in the Mishnah, so some curiosity. So Gemara right now is focusing, and I spent some time discussing this yesterday, in terms of what would be if the Torah, when introducing us to certain Isuri Kares, if let's say the Torah gives us a lav, followed then by another lav, followed then by another lav, and then at the conclusion of those, so then you have the Torah says, and if you do any of these, you're going to be subject to Kares. So is that now going to give Kares for each one of them? The answer, of course, is yes. Is that going to also provide a carbon chatas, a requirement of a carbon chatas for each one of them? And there the answer also is going to be yes. The chief example of that would be Arayus. So by Arayus, the Torah goes lav, 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 multiple separate lavim for various arayos, and then at the end of the end of the parsha, the Torah says, if you do any of these, you're going to be subject to kares. And so we know that each one represents its own particular chatas. If a person violated various arayos, he's going to be chayv karmen chatas. We turn the question around on something like oven yidoni. Oven yidoni are two different forms of necromancy. So somehow you're going to be able to speak to the dead and have the dead speak to you or through you. And so by oven yidoni, if you look back in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah certainly is a bit of a curiosity because the Mishnah does list, but only lists one of the two, ov, as opposed to yidoni. Just in pragmatic terms, what's the difference between ov and yidoni? So I've never seen ov and yidoni being practiced. I bet you the same thing is true for you as well. The ov is basically what you do is you take your arm, you wave your arm, you flap your arm, and you have the voice being produced from underneath your arm, from basically coming out of your armpit. Okay. Yidoni, you take a bone, you insert the bone into your mouth, and the voice from beyond speaks from your mouth. You don't move your mouth, you just let it speak. A little ventriloquism, if you will. But these are two forms of necromancy, and the Torah says that if you do either one of them, so you're going to be subject to Misa. It's part of it's a death penalty punishment for both of those. In fact, not just the death penalty punishment, but skila. So fine. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin, when going over Oven Yidoni, obviously the Mishnah lists both because the Mishnah lists both because they're both subject to skila. Our Mishnah is a curiosity because our Mishnah only lists Oven, does not mention Yidoni. So the Gemara is now contemplating why that should be, and that's what we're picking up right now on Gimel Amud Beis. We are about 2/3 of the way down. And Dilma, let's start over here. Dilma's 2/3 of the way down. Dilma's the first word in the line. And so this is what the Gemara now is entertaining. Dilma beis misos v'lav echad, kamart. So when the Torah presents to us the death penalty, but the Torah encapsulates the two of them in one lav. So mahi ovi yidoni. So ovi yidoni would be an example where the Torah tells us that there's a death penalty for either one of them. And on the same time, however, they're lumped together in one pasuk with one lav. And so under those circumstances, our question now is, is there going to be separation vis-a-vis chatas? Meaning, if a person violated Ov and Yidoni, and on top of that, he did so b'shogeg, would he be chayv a carbon chatos for both? So previously, it was clear to us when it's lav, 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 and the Torah actually provides a separate lav for each one of them. So clearly, that's going to be mechalik and provide a carbon chatos requirement for each one of them. That's that the Gemara has established. But here, we're talking about where the Torah gives one lav for the two of them, but meanwhile individualizes a misa for both of them, for each of them. So under those circumstances now, are they separated for chatos? That's the question on the table. The Gemara discusses. Amalei da haplukta de Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish de Tanu Gabi Niskalim, Baal Ovi Yidoni. So in the Mishnah Sanhedrin, they are divided as two separate Yisurim. And of course, because you're going to be subject to misa for violating each of them, you don't have to do both. V'kashla ma'ishna gabi skilas tini yidoni v'gabi krisus lo tini yidoni. And so here the Gemara articulates the question. In Sanhedrin, the Mishnah lists both. In Krisus, the Mishnah only lists Ov and not Yidoni. Why should that be? So I'm Rav Yochanan Hol v'shnei b'lav echa nemru. So Rav Yochanan says because they are said with one lav. Meaning, Rav Yochanan actually is mechadish. That because it's only presented with one lav, so therefore they are not individualized, and therefore they are put together vis-a-vis karmel chatas. V'nemi Yidoni v'lo nema ba'ov. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then why not mention Ov? Why not mention Yidoni? Meaning that if they're going to bring a carbon chatos for each one of them, for either one of them, so then why does our Mishnah mention that in the one? Because of a whole pasach hakasa b'bal Ov. So Rav Yochanan says, look, the Mishnah could have listed Ov. The Mishnah could have listed Yidoni. Could have gone either way. It just happens to be that the Mishnah started with Ov because the pasach started with Ov. Reish Lakish Amar Hol Ve'Ein Bo Maisa. Reish Lakish says no for a totally different reason. Yidoni is not mentioned in our Mishnah. Why? Because it's a lav shem b'maisa. There's no action that's involved in Yidoni. Now, again, they're both necromancy, and so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be making a fine distinction between the two lavim in terms of understanding that one is actually an action, the other one's an inaction. The one that's an action is Ov. Again, you're flapping your arm. Yidoni, you just put the bone in your mouth and that's it. Now, placement of bone in the mouth is an action. Kind of hard to dispute that. But at the same time, however, once the bone is in your mouth, you don't do anything. So in terms of the hachana, yeah, there's a little bit of a heksha required. But after that, it just you're on autopilot. You don't do anything. So that's what the Gemara is now going to discuss. So Reish Lakish Amar Hol Ve'Ein Bo Maisa. So it's a lav shein bo maisa. So therefore, according to Reish Lakish, there's no karban chatas. So in other words, in disputing Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish is of the opinion that mamash there's no karban chatas. Reish Lakish, my time lo amakar Rav Yochanan. So why doesn't he agree with Rav Yochanan? Amar apapa da hachalukin heim b'misos. So Reish Lakish argues with Rav Yochanan because Reish Lakish actually says that the chiluk of misa is in fact going to be a chiluk. Meaning just like we learned lavim are going to be mechalik. So according to Reish Lakish, so misa itself also is going to be a mechalik. Now I understand, by the way, how big a chiddush that is. Because lavim being mechalik, that makes a lot of sense. The lav is that's not the onesh, that's the azhara. That's the iser, that's the Torah establishing the iser. So the fact that the Torah gives us multiple lavim, that's going to be mechalik. Reish Lakish says, the same thing is true regarding misos. Meaning when the Torah gives you an onish, that also is going to be mechalik. Rav Yochanan amalacha chaluka delav, havi chaluka. And Rav Yochanan disagrees. He says, look, when the Torah gives us multiple lavim, so that's a chiluk. Chaluka de misa, lo havi chaluka. But the chaluka of misa is not going to be a chaluka. So fine, so this is now turning into the very basic machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. In terms of when the chiluk is coming vis-a-vis the misa, not vis-a-vis the lav, whether that's going to be a chiluk, and that now is going to be our machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Fine. Rav Yochanan, my time alama Reish Lakish. Now, why doesn't Rav Yochanan subscribe to the idea of Reish Lakish? Kasavra mantana krisus, Rabbi Kivahi. Well, let's go back to something we already said before and what we know. Our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, right? Rabbi Kiva, da amar lobi inan maisa. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion you don't require maisa. You know this based on the end of the Mishnah. You go back to the Mishnah, you see the end of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah argues about Megadif. Megadif is blasphemy. Right? Let's say simple pshat. Megadif is blasphemy. Blasphemy is dibor. It's just speech. And yet it's listed as one of the 36 of our Mishnah. Now, at the end of the Mishnah, the Chachamim take exception to Megadif because it's a lav shein b'maisa. So that means that the author of our Mishnah, who includes Megadif, is not bothered by the fact that it's a lav shein b'maisa. As we already established, that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. Now, with that stated, So our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Kiva, who says you don't need a Maisa, Dar Malobi in a Maisa, and so therefore, just because there's a Lav Shein B'Maisa doesn't mean it should be excluded from our Mishnah. In fact, you see it clearly from Megandif. So if Megandif is in our Mishnah, so then Yidoni also shouldn't be a problem being put in our Mishnah. So it can't be a function of Lav Shein B'Maisa. It must be something else. And it brings us back to the issue of Chiluk. So the Gemara says, Vei Shlakish Nehida, Rabbi Kivala Bai Maisa Rabba, Maisa Zuta Bai. So now Rei Shlakish is going to make a very fine distinction. And that is, look, even according to Rabbi Akiva, so you don't need a Maisa, but you need something. Okay, and I know, as I'm hearing myself, it's a really fine distinction. But Reish Lakish is going to make such a distinction. So yes, it's true. You don't need a Maisa Rabba, but you need something. So Baal of my Maisa Isbei. So when it comes to Ov, so there is a Maisa, which is Hakasha Zorosav, the flapping of the arm. So Havi Maisa. Megadif my Maisa Isbei. And I could say the same thing regarding Megadif. And that is Akimas Fasav of a Maisa. The moving of your lips is considered a Maisa. So now, at this juncture, what we're saying is that our Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva doesn't require a Maisa, but he requires a little Maisa. There has to be something being done. Flapping of an arm, moving of the lips, that's considered a Maisa. Even though the moving of the lips is Dibor. But still, that Rabbi Kiva says that that's enough in order to generate a Karban Chatas. A law that requires a Karban Chatas. But when it comes to Yidoni, what the Gemara now is presenting is that Yidoni literally is no Maisa whatsoever. And even Rabbi Kiva would say that doesn't hit the threshold of requiring a Karban Chatas. Now, the Gemara continues. Kasaka Dacha. Now, before the Gemara launches into its next question, the Gemara telegraphs its punch.
Question. Don't we usually assume that Dibur itself is not a Maisa?
That's yes. Right. Yes.
When we say, yes. Tell the animal, because that, you
that's correct. That's conventional thinking. That's conventional thinking. You're absolutely correct. Meanwhile, our mission is going like Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva doesn't subscribe to that. Rabbi Kiva says that you're going to be Chayva Kaba Chatzas even a Lav Shein B'Maisa. But you're right. But you're representing the conventional thinking. And the majority position. That's not our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Kasaka dacha akasha zrosav have maisa, zuta. So the Gemara says that the waving of your arms, the flapping of your arms is considered a maisa zuta. So afilu l'rabbanan. Now in the Gemara's telegraphing its punch, the Gemara thinks right now that according to the Chachamim who do require a maisa, so the flapping of your arms, so that's considered maisa zuta. It is considered a maisa. Now, meisvei, now with that in mind, let's now consider the following. Now for Avodah Zarah, for violating Avodah Zarah, let's say we were doing so b'shogeg. So you're only going to be chayev if there was an action that's involved. Meaning just thinking about Avodah Zarah is not going to elicit a carbon requirement. So kigon shezibach v'kiter v'nisach v'ishtach chava. You have to do an action, like shechting an animal, like burning incense, like nisach, like pouring libations on the mizbeach. You have to do an action for Avodah Zarah. And there's a fourth example, which is bowing. Now, bowing, is that a big action? What you're doing is you're taking your body from straight to now perpendicular. What the Gemara now is entertaining is the idea that that's not a big action. It's just, what you did was just simply, you bend over. So the Gemara says, V'kashalan, and we were bothered. Hishtachva leis b'masa, that hishtachva is not really much of a maisa. V'amar Reish Lakish amani Rabbi Kivahi. Now, in addressing this, Reish Lakish says, oh, okay, fine. I now understand that the author of that brisa regarding Avodah Zarah and the inclusion of Ishtachavaya, so that's going with Rabbi Akiva. Damar lo be'ina Maisa, where Rabbi Akiva does not require Maisa, and that's why Ishtachavaya is added in that Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan amar afilo tem rabbanan. And Rabbi Yochanan will argue. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. You don't have to say that brisa is going like Rabbi Akiva, relegated to one opinion. You could say that Mishnah is going like Chulei Amos, it's going according to the Chachamim. And Kfifas Kamasu, Ave Maisa. And the bending of your body is considered a Maisa. And so what we have over here between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan is how much of a Maisa is bending your body, bowing. So according to Rav Yochanan, it's considered a Maisa. According to Reish Lakish, it's not considered a Maisa. Now, let's think this through. Mechlal Desfir Leila Reish Lakish, Aliba de Rabbanan, Kfifas Kamasu, Le Rabbanan, Lo Have Maisa. So now it comes out that according to Reish Lakish, he had that Brisa being assigned to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. He holds that bowing is not considered a Maisa. So now the Gemara says, if we're right, so now Hakasha Zorosav have a Maisa. So now, according to the Chachamim, in Reish Lakish's viewpoint, bending your body bowing is not considered a Maisa. And flapping your arms is considered a Maisa. Meaning it seems to be inconsistent within Reish Lakish in terms of how much action and movement you need to do in order for it to be considered a Maisa, according to the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, V'alaki kamar Reish Lakish Hakasha Zorosav have a Maisa Zuta, Aliba de Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we have to do is we have to correct our original assertion. And that means that according to Reish Lakish, the flapping of your arms is considered a maisa within the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Avala Rabban lo ava maisa. But that means that according to the Chachamim, it's not going to be a maisa. So ihachi. So amai tani yatsa megadav shem ba maisa. Nisni yatsa megadav va'ov. So now the Gemara says, good. So with all the stated, so now we get back to the end of our Mishnah. At the end of the Mishnah, after listing the 36, the Mishnah says that the Chachamim take exception to Megadif. Take Megadif out of the Mishnah. Why? Because Megadif isn't a Maisa. Meaning the Chachamim who are disputing Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Megadif, you don't need a Maisa. Or you don't need a major Maisa. So Rabbi Akiva was comfortable with Megadif. And the Chachamim said, take it out. Now we've just established that anything that just requires a body movement, according to the Chachamim, that's not a Maisa. So Megadif, you're moving your lips. That's not a Maisa. Same thing with Ov. Ov, all you're doing is you're just flapping your arms. So that means that if the Chachamim are taking out Megadif, the Chachamim should also take out Ov. Because all you're doing in Ov is just moving your arms. It's body movement, but that's not considered a Maisa. And that's exactly the Gemara's question. Nisni, yatsa Megadif for Baal Ov. So take out both Megadif and Baal Ov. So the Gemara says, Chadam etarti katani. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Meaning, you want to say that's Pshat in the Mishnah? Let's say it. That's Pshat in the Mishnah. When the Chachamim were taking out Megadif, they also were ready to take out Ov as well. So if a listening Baal Ov, a low listening Megadif, so the Gemara says, okay, but now I have a choice between two. Now, it's funny. The Gemara can't ask the question simply because the Mishnah didn't do it. So if you're taking out two, why wouldn't the Mishnah mention both? And if you're telling me it's because of conservation of words, I mean, it's only one more word. So, okay, fair. But the Mishnah didn't do it. But now, if we're taking out both Megadif and Ov, according to the Chachamim, and both are to be excluded from that list, so why then would we just reference Megadif? Why not mention Ov? So Megadif is strictly, the Gemara says Megadif is really more of a Chiddush. Why? All because of Karis Yilei B'makam Karban, because the Karis is said in relationship to the Karban. So Eima Modele L'Rabbi Akiva. So I might have thought that maybe by Megadif, even though it's not a Maisa Rabba, even though it's not considered a Maisa according to the Chachamim, but still, being that its carbon is listed right next to the Issa Kares, so maybe it is more carbon sensitive, and so maybe it would be in the Mishnah, Kamash Malon Delo, and that's the Chiddush in which, even according to the Chachamim, even Megadif, which you may have argued is a little more sensitive, still, it's not a Maisa, and therefore there's no carbon. Ula Amar Bal Ov Diktani B'Mekat L'Shein. Ula would like to give a different answer altogether. Meaning, our question, when at the end the Chachamim are removing those Isurim that don't have a Maisa, and Megadif certainly is in the list. In fact, the list is a list of one. So Megadif is there. Why isn't Ov there? Because Ov is also not a Maisa. You're just flapping your arms. It's just body movement. So why isn't Ov there as well? So one answer we gave is, you could have listed Ov, it just didn't. Ula gives a second answer, Bal Ov Diktani B'Mekat L'Shed. So Ula proposes that we don't understand what Ov is. Ov is not just the flapping of your arms, but rather what you're doing is you're burning incense to some sort of other entity. So Maskif La Rava Imkein Hain Ovid Avodas Kochavim. So Rava says that's wonderful. We have a word for that. It's called Avodazara, meaning that's not Ov. Elamarav Mekater L'Shed Amanas L'Chavro. No, you misunderstood. No, we're not offering incense to the shade because we believe in the shade and we're not serving it and servicing it, but rather what you're doing is the following. You're burning incense in order to create chibur, in order to create union. You want certain animals to come together. You want certain insects to come together. So you're burning the shade, you're being mekater for the shade in order to create this effect.
You turn to think with your intention. Is that following those four things, no matter what the...
No, the Gemara said. The Gemara said earlier. Of course, it matters what your intention is. The Gemara says you're in a base of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara yesterday. You're in a base of Avodah Zarah. You bow down, thinking that it's a shul. The Gemara says it's not a problem.
So Hashachava maybe is an exception, but on Nisuch and Kitor and
presumably it's the same thing by the others as well. I mean, I don't know what you're doing Kitor and a shul for, but presumably it'd be the same thing. So the Gemara says Mikat L'Shed Amanas L'Chavro. So the Gemara says that's what the Ov is of the Mishnah. Now, if that's the Ov of the Mishnah, so now it's a Maisa. Certainly it's a Maisa. And that's why the Chachamim didn't want to exclude it. So the Gemara says, okay, that's very good. But we have a different word for that, meaning that's no longer Ov. That's the Gemara's problem. Amar Le Abaye, Im Kein Hainu Chover Chover. Okay, good. So the Torah gives a description of what that is. That's what's called chover chover. Chover chover is where you do some sort of incantation, some sort of you're in touch with the dark arts, and through that, what you're able to do is you're able to get certain animals to come together or certain insects to come together. Amalei Torah Amar chover chover could go and zebeskila. So the Gemara says, the Gemara's response to that is, yeah, look, there is chover chover, right? Like I described, you, with your knowledge of the dark arts, so you're able to get a series of animals to come together. That's the Gemara says, that in of itself, that's just a lav. If I do it plus kitur, so now that's ov. And for that, that's going to be skila. So chover chover de balav, hadenu amaleke de tanya. So the Gemara says, what's regular chover chover? What is it that just where it's just a lav? Can the tie in the Gemara quotes the Braisa? The chover chover echad chover gadol echad chover katan. It doesn't matter if you're through your manipulation you're able to get large animals together, small animals together. Ve'afilu chover l'nechashim v'akravim. And even if you're doing so for snakes and scorpions, chayev. So that's the quote unquote standard chover chover. That's just the lav version, and that is obviously just a lav. If it's just a lav, so then you're not going to be chayv karmen chatas, and it's not going to be in a sakaris, obviously. The one that where you're chayv misa is your chover chaver, you're doing so through kitor. And according to Rava, that's our Mishnah. Now with that stated, so now we have chover chaver, we have like chover chaver plus, meaning an exceptional form of chover chaver, where you would be chayv misa. Then, of course, you would also be chayv karis. You have to say that because it's in our Mishnah. And on top of that, that's the ov mentioned in the Torah according to Rava. Amar Abaye, hai man dabai lemitzvah zibur v'akrava aser. As long as we're discussing chover chover, the Gemara will just spend a moment giving us another halacha within chover chover. Let's say that you're trying to do it. You're scorpions and some sort of bee, a wasp, and right now they're attacking you. I jumped ahead of myself. So if you're just simply conjuring through the dark arts to get them together, so that's chover chover, and that's going to be prohibited. The ikas basre sharei. And if they're running after you, and you are actually going to be in danger, and you're doing so as self-defense, so by all means. So with your knowledge of the dark arts, so go for it. Get them all to centralize in one location so they no longer harm you. Okay? Presumably, we're talking here about pikuach nefesh. Gemara does not really articulate that point clearly, but presumably we're talking about pikuach nefesh. If that's true, then you got to wonder. It's not much of a chiddush. Meaning, if we're just talking about a lav, we're not talking about. Even if it was more.
Otherwise, can be a heard by Albert potentially.
Right. But the Gemara didn't put it under the category of avodah zarah. Meaning, ov and yidoni are something else. Meaning, I don't know what that something else is, but okay. So it's an Isser Skila.
So, I mean, in that halami, within the capital of shade, the Yehorib by Yapur?
Okay, I hear you, but the Gemara puts that into the category of Ov. Okay.
Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't he do that? And with God's stamp of approval to gather the animals, to gather the frogs, to gather. No?
Oh, for the Makos?
Yeah.
Akash Baruch Hu did it.
Right.
Right, okay. It's right, okay. So the Rav Yochanan Damar Kfifas Kamaso. Let's continue. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, we're in the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. And so what we have over here is a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding what qualifies as a Maisa, what doesn't qualify as a Maisa. We are looking back at our Mishnah. If Megadiv is not considered a Maisa according to the Chachamim, so Yidoni is also not considered a Maisa. What about Ov? Ov should or should not be considered a Maisa as well? And so the Gemara went through the various positions of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish in terms of a better understanding of our Mishnah, why Yidoni is not there. Maybe Ov should also be removed. Maybe it is, according to one of the Shitas. And the Gemara continues. L'Rav Yochanan Amar Kfifas Kamas Avim Aisa Akim Asfasav Nehavim Aisa Gabi Megadiv. So the Gemara says, now let's go back to and reflect on the position of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that Hishtachavaya, that bowing down, that is considered a Maisa. Right back by Avodah Zarah, when we talked about the various actions that are going to be that are going to warrant a Karban Chatas, if a person is Ovid, Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg, so one of those actions is going to be Shtachavaya. Now Reish Lakish says, well, that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. But Rav Yochanan said, no, that's the opinion of the Chachamim. So according to Rav Yochanan, says that's the opinion of the Chachamim, so that means that bowing is considered a Maisa. So now, again, it's body movement. So body movement is considered a Maisa, so shouldn't we say that moving your lips That's again body movement, and that should be considered maisa as well. So Amar Abaye, Akimas Vasod Neve Maisa Gabe Megadif. Amar Rava, we're in the very top of Dalam and Aleph. So to that says Shani Megadif Hov Yeshna Balev. So Rava gives an answer, and Rava's answer is, well, you know, Megadif, yes, it's true. You have to talk. In other words, blasphemy requires dibur, but that's not really the iser. The iser is the thought that you had. Now, granted, those thoughts need to be articulated, but the iser is really rooted in the thought, and so that is really the iser at its heart. I say that both literally and figuratively, and so therefore, the Megadif is considered a lavshein b'maisa, even according to Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, so what are you saying? So you're saying that, aside from Megadif that needs a hashkafa, it needs a philosophy, it needs a machshava, without the machshava it's not really giduf. So the Gemara says, fine. But you're telling me that any other speech-related iser now is going to be considered a maisa. Is that true? The Gemara says, that's not true. Ava ba'ama akimas vasav ave maisa? You mean to tell me that in general, the moving of your lips is considered a maisa? So maisa Rabbi Zera, yatsu edim zomim shein ba maisa. So we learned at the beginning of Makos that edim zomimim is a lav she'ein ba maisa. Because what is edim zomimim? Edim zomimim is speech. A pair of witnesses go into the court and say that person was violated that and he needs to get that. Now, if they are proven to be edim zomimim, you do to them what they conspired to do to somebody else. So now, what bothers the Gemara is that the statement over there in Makos is that edim zomimim is a lav she'ein ba maisa. And so therefore it's not comparable, whatever the Gemara's discussion was over there. But the Gemara clearly registered it as a lav she'ein ba maisa because all it is just dibur. You said that Megadev is exceptional in that it's not a maisa because it's really belave. Over here, by edim zomimim, it should be a maisa. It's dibur that should reflect in a maisa. The Torah says it's alpi, meaning they have to move their lips. And as Rav Yochanan now has it, that's considered a maisa. So the Gemara gives an answer. Difficult answer, I understand, but the Gemara gives an answer. Gemara's answer is, well, you know, when it comes to Edom Zomimim, you know what the real Isser is? Yes, it's true that in order to testify, they have to say something. But the real Isser isn't what they saw. Now, why is that a really difficult shot? Because we're talking about Edom Zomimim. It's not what they saw. It's really what they didn't see. What they're doing is they're conjuring. Meaning, here's what happened. What do you mean what happened? It didn't happen. That's exactly the point. But I guess the Gemara's point is that in Eidus in general, Eidus, if you distill it, what is Eidus? Eidus is really, I saw something. I saw something. Now, of course, in order for me to report what I saw, so I have to talk. But really, Eidus at its essence is really a re'iyah. It's just an act of viewing. An act of viewing is passive. So the Gemara says, and yes, it's true, for the Edom Zomimim, they didn't even see anything. But still, Eidus in of itself is just re'iyah, and so therefore that too is now going to be filed under a lav she'ein ba maisa. So we have now, Gemara gave us the rule that according to Rav Yochanan, even dibur is considered a maisa. Hishtachavai is a maisa according to the Chachamim. Dibur is considered a maisa. Any body movement is going to be a maisa. Megadev, it's dvarim shebalev, really. Eidus, it's really re'iyah. So those are going to be your exceptions. On Dalam and Aleph, we are at the two dots towards the top of the Amud, and our discussion now moves towards other Isurim that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Spend a lot of time today now talking about the Isur of Chelev. Chelev, the forbidden fats of the animal. Back in Chulin, we anatomically went through the animal, and we discussed which fats are located in the animal fall under the category of chelev. The fats that we eat as part of the meat of the animal, that's not chelev. That's called shuman. In fact, it's mutter, and as I commented numerous times, delicious. But when it comes to chelev, so those are the forbidden fats of the animal that one is not allowed to eat, that together with dam are not only iser achila, but they're iser achila with an iser kares. So if done b'mezid, b'shogeg, you bring a karmen chatas, so that is the iser of chelev. As we also have noted numerous times, chelev is only an iser when it comes to behema. When you have a chaya, a wild animal, right? There are wild animals, numerous wild animals are mutter la'achila. Bizman hazeh, nowadays we don't eat, as part of normal consumption, we eat none of them. Some eat venison. But anyway, but the chelev of a chaya would be mutter. What the Gemara now is going to be discussing is the various chelevs of various animals. And once again, the question of chiluk. is there going to be multiple chataos for the chelev of different animals? Our Gemara discusses. Tana Rabbanan. Start with a braisa. Kol chelev shor v'chesav ha'ez v'oso chelev. So the pasuk in Parshat Tzav introduces us to the isra of chelev. Actually, it's not an introduction. It actually comes up earlier in the psukim, earlier in the parshios. But in Parshat Tzav, the Torah says, don't eat chelev of shor kesav ha'ez. So we covered all three animals that are behemoths. There are more animals that are behemoths, but behemoths that are that you can offer as a carbon. So shor, the large animal, kesav, the sheep, and the ez is the goat. So the chelev of these animals you cannot eat. L'chayv akol achas v'achas. If one were to eat all three of chelev of all three animals at the same time, and Rashi even adds over here b'hasra achas, even though you were given one warning. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're going to be chayv a carbon chatas for each and one of them. We're of course assuming that the person ate it b'shogeg. So Rabbi Shmuel says that there is a chiluk over here in the psukim. Now obviously this is dramatically different than what we discussed earlier. We discussed earlier lavim being mechalik, even possibly the onish being mechalik. Over here, what's the chiluk in the psukim? It just simply says that kol chelev shor kesev ve'ez. The Torah is just listing the three different animals. So you think about it, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's a really tremendous chiddush. But that's exactly it. That's a chiddush. V'chachamim omrim einu chayv alachas. Now the chachamim say that you only be chayv one. Okay. So we have a machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and the chachamim. Chelev of all three different types of animals. Shor kesev ve'ez are put in front of you. You forgot it's usher. You didn't know it was chelev. Whatever the shogeg circumstances were, and you helped yourself to all three. And you were, now, it's funny, Rashi here talks about asra, which means that if there's asra, so now we're talking about the Yisr Kares. But let's assume right now we're talking about b'shogeg. So how many karbanos are going to be chayev? So according to Rabbi Shmuel, three. According to the Chachamim, only one. Now, let's try to wrap our head around what exactly is the Nekudah Machlokas. The Gemara discusses. Neima b'hakemiflgi. Rabbi Shmuel savra lokin alav shebechlalos. Rabbanan savra ein lokin alav shebechlalos. So maybe according to Rabbi Shmuel, you are going to get Malkus and a Lav Shebeklolos. Generally. Lav Shebeklolos is the idea that you have a kind of a, like a generic Pasuk speaking to different ideas. And so therefore, when you have one Pasuk that speaks to many ideas, I'll give you an example. Lo Sochlu Al Adam. Right? One of the Pesukim in the Torah. What does that mean? The Gemara goes in numerous directions in terms of what that means. Now that's generally lav shebechlalos. That's not what it means over here in this context. In this context, what it just simply means is that we have an iser that has different forms of the iser. Chelev of a shor, chelev of a kesev, chelev of an ez. So in this context, it just simply means lav shebechlalos is referring to multiple different types of chelev within one iser. So Rabbi Shmuel Savre lokin a lav shebechlalos, and Rabbi Shmuel says that you are going to be receiving a malchus for each of the examples that's provided. In the pasuk you have the chelev of a shor, chelev of a kesev, chelev of an ez, and so therefore, malchus for each and every one of them. Rabbanan savri en lokin alav shebechlalos, and the chachamim say, you do not get malchus for lav shebechlalos. Now, in our context, in our Gemara, it doesn't mean you don't get malchus at all, you just ate chelev. What it means is that we're not going to differentiate. Meaning we just view it as the Isser of Chelev, and we don't subdivide it into, oh, that's Chelev Shur, oh, that's Chelev Eitz. It's just one Isser of Chelev, even if he ate all three.
So it would be Mistaret if you had...
Lechora
it would.
That would be my best guess. La'olam sav Rabbi Shmuel ein lokin alav shebechlalos v'shani hacham. Rabban sav ein lokin alav shebechlalos. That is the Gemara's proposal. The Gemara does not like the proposal. La'olam sav Rabbi Shmuel ein lokin alav shebechlalos. Nope, that's not the Nekudah Machlokas. V'shani hacha d'miyasri lukra. So the Gemara says it has to do with the fact that the Torah is giving us extra wording, extra verbiage. Because nichtav kra kol chelev lo so chelu. The Torah could just simply say don't eat chelev. That could have been the pasuk as succinct and to the point as possible. And meanwhile, shor, kesev, ez, lamali. Why give me all three different examples? Shemamina lechalek. So the purpose is, in order to create differentiation, that's the argument for Rabbi Shmuel. V'rabanan, ilo kesef shor kesef ha'ez, havamina, filo chelev chaya b'mashra. L'achli kesef shor kesef ha'ez, l'memer d'chelev shor kesef ha'ez, hudasar aval d'chay shari. Now the Chachamim rebut, and their rebuttal is excellent. If the Torah says, don't eat chelev, here's what we all would have thought. Don't eat chelev, and you know what that means? It means, don't eat chelev, period. Not of a behema, not of a chaya. The Torah has to give us the examples of shortcuts of A's, otherwise we would have thought that the chalev of a chaya would be usher as well. The Torah has to clarify which chalev would be usher, i.e. behema, which chalev would be mutter, i.e. chaya. Shapi kamerle. The Gemara says, that's a really good rebuttal. That's excellent. So now the Gemara tries again to give us pshat in Rabbi Yishmael. Maybe the Torah could have simply said kol chelav shor, and then case of the A's lamali shmami lechalik. The case of the A's are extraneous. The Gemara says, really? So if the Torah would have said kol chelav shor and it would have stopped right there, hava amina nelav shor shor misinai, I would have thought that we would have been made a connection between the shores here, if the Torah would have just said shore, and the shore by Sinai. Specifically by Sinai, we mean Aseres Adibros, and specifically we're talking about Shabbos. And, Ma Gabe Sinai Chaya Va'of Kayot Behem, you're not allowed to work your animals. Which animals are you not allowed to work? The answer is very simple. All of them. You're not allowed to work your behema, your chaya, your of. Meaning, even though the Torah uses the word shore, but shore is complementing all your animals. The gabe, the iser of shvitzas behemta. So af gabe achila chayva of kayotz behem. So then, if the Torah would have said just shore, well, I would have gone back to Shabbos, and I know that Shabbos shore represents all animals. So then I'd come back over here by the iser of chaylev, and I would have said shore represents all animals. L'hachi kasav rechmanes shore v'kesav eiz lememra de hani de aser of achayva of sharei. So, and the reason why the Torah then has to speak out, not only shore, but kesef ha'ez, don't connect it to the shore of Sinai, not to the shvisos behemta. This is a separate iser, and the iser only applies to behema, not to chayam. And again, shapi kamerle. So once again, we look at the response of the Chacham to Rosh Gamliel. That's an excellent response. Ela hainu tam tekasav nechtov kol chelev kesef lo sochelu. Inami kol chelev ez lo sochelu. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, look, if the Torah could have said it more succinctly by saying either don't eat chalev of kesev or don't eat chalev of eiz, shor v'kesev eiz lama li, shmamin alechalek. So the mentioning of all three is to be mechalek, to differentiate. V'rabbanan tzavri kesev kol chalev kesev. So the Chacham said it would have led us astray if the Torah would have just said kesev. So chalev kesev aser, shor v'eiz sharei. So the Gemara says, and why would I have said, if the Torah would have just said kesef, why would I have just limited to kesef? Because we know that kesef has a tail, a fatty tail. Now the fatty tail is going to go up onto the Mizbeach. And I would have said that the reason why the Torah is more sensitive to the chalev of a sheep is because of its fatty tail. But maybe shor and eiz would be fine. Ukidetan Rabbi Chananya. And the Gemara says, and this point though was already made by a Braisa. Lama manakas of imurim b'shor, v'imurim b'kesev, v'imurim b'eiz. Why does the Torah have to go and spell out the parts of the carbon that goes up onto the mizbeach? And the Torah specifies by shor and by kesev and by eiz. So dechsev ach b'chor shor and parshas korach. The Torah goes through and lists through. Make sure to bring the imurim of your shor and your kesev and your eiz. Why does the Torah have to go through all three? Tzricha, it's necessary. You see, if the Torah just written shore, I would have said, yeah, the imurim, the chelav of the shore have to go up. You know the nesachim that come together with the shore? It's the largest amount of nesachim. It's chatzi ahin, together with the complement of the flour and the oil. So it's the most amount of nesachim. So by shore, so yeah, nesachim go up. So, but if the Torah wouldn't say kesef eiz, I would have said maybe not. And if the Torah would have just said sheep by itself, well, the sheep, I would have said, oh, that's special, that's unique. Why? Because of its tail. And if the Torah would have just simply said the goat, and the imurim, the goat, have to go on the mizbech, I'd say, sure, I understand that. Because we know that the goat is so special and unique, it's brought for the violation of Avodah Zarah, if done b'shogeg. So that's why the A's become so special. So I can't, the Torah could not have mentioned just one of them because we would have led astray. We would have said that that's unique to that particular type of animal. So mincha lo yafin anichtav tartei v'nelav chadim tartei. So the Gemara goes through its classic discussion. Okay, so one's not enough. But maybe the Torah could have introduced us to two of the animals and that would have brought us to our conclusion. Hai dein nelav. So the Gemara says, okay, pick which one. Shor mikesef ve'ez islam pircha. So if, let's say, the Torah would have said kesef ve'ez and left out shor, the Gemara says that wouldn't have been good. Ma'ala kesef ve'ez shekenes rabbi eitzah Pesach. Well, we know that kesef ve'ez are the two types of animals that are eligible to be brought Karm Pesach with. Meanwhile, shor is not eligible for Karm Pesach. So I would have said, oh yeah, sure, the imurim of kesef ve'ez, that goes up. That those are Karm Pesach type animals, but the shor doesn't. So lo nichtav kesef and elav mishor ve'ez. Okay, let's take out kesef and let's have the Torah just give us shor ve'ez. Islam pircham al shor ve'ez shekinis rabbi eitzal v'zkochavim. When the community is ovid avodah zarah, so there two karbanos are brought, one being a shor and the other being an ez. And so therefore they're special and unique types of animals. So there the imurim go up, but not kesef. Lo nichtav ez v'nelav mishor v'kesef. So the Gemara says, leave out goat and put in shor and kesef. So islam pircha malashor v'kesef shekein yesh bo tzad ribui. There's extra. By the shor, the extra amount of nesachim. By the kesef, the extra fat in its tail. Hilkach lo yafi me'adadi, therefore they cannot be learned one from the other. And that's why the Torah has to specify all three. Shapit kamerlei. And again, we're trying to wrap our head around, say, a pshat in Rabbi Yishmael, and every time we do so, the Chachamim come back with a great response. Over here, the Chachamim came back with a great response. Amalei ella la'olam time of the Rabbi Yishmael, kidamina mikara, dimkei nechtov kol chela v'lishtok. So let's go back to our original presentation. We said that according to Rabbi Yishmael, the reason why a person who eats all three is going to be subject to three separate lavim is because the Torah should have just simply said, kol chela lo sochelu. Period. Done. And what was our original problem with that? Well, it's misleading. Because if the Torah would have said that, I would have said that the chelav of behema and chai are both aser. The Gemara says, I wouldn't have said that. Maya mart. Hai de kasa shor kesef eiz la mishri chelav chaya. Ha, ki kasa of kra binyana de kachim. V'davar lame binyano. So look carefully and contextually where the pasuk is located. It's in Parshat Saf, specifically in describing karbanos. Now, we know karbanos are only eligible from behema. We know, of course, that karbanos are not eligible from chayas. So now, when the Torah is talking about, hey, and don't eat the chelev, so just look at the context. Since the context is talking about animals that are only going to be brought on the mizbeach, i.e. behema, the isser of chelev is only going to be applicable to behema. This is what's called davar halamed me'inyano. In fact, that's a good point. It's one of the yud gimel mitzvos shatara nidreshes behem. And so now, finally, after losing a lot of rounds, so now Rabbi Yishmael basically is making what the Gemara feels is a really good point. And in fact, the Gemara now turns back to the Chachamim. You don't subscribe to Davar Lame Minyano? And of course they do. And it's one of the Yugim Omidos, Shatar Nidreshes Behem. So lo, dekule ama yafin and Davar Lame Minyano. So the Gemara says, everyone of course subscribes to the principle. However, V'hacha b'ha'pligi, Rabbi Yishmael sefer lemeidim lav milav, bein milav ubein lav dekaris. So as far as Rabbi Yishmael is concerned, so he's going to say like this. The Torah over here in introducing us to the Isser of Chelev, so it's a lav. It's a lav, but truth of the matter is, it's really in the context of an Isser Karis. Meaning because the consumption of Chelev is not only just a lav in of itself, but it's also Karis as well. So what Rabbi Yishmael feels is as follows. You can learn Davar Lami Minyano, and you can go base it off of a pasuk that introduces us to a lav, and extend it also not only to the lav, but to the Isser Karis as well. Okay. That is going to be Shitas Rabbi Yishmael. Now, skip the next about three lines to where we pick up at, right after the parentheses, V'rabanan, Lav Mi Lav Yafinan, Lav Mi Karis Lo Yafinan. If we're going to go from one lav to another using the principle of davar halami minyano, that's fine. But over here, we're going too far. Meaning context, of course, is very important. But to use the argument of context in order to jump from a lav to now something that will result in an issur kares, that's too far. That's one possibility now of explaining the machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and the Chacham. So, finally, after a lot of attempts, the question of how to understand the machlokes, Rabbi Yishmael and the Chachamim. A person eats the shor, the chelev of shor, kesef, and eis, receives only one hasra. How many isurim? Rabbi Yishmael says three. The Chachamim say one. So finally, the Gemara understands that it's based on the ribui halashon that's mentioned in the pasuk in Parshat Tzav. And the fact of the matter is that according to Rabbi Yishmael, it wasn't necessary. Why? because we would have understood contextually if the Torah would have just simply said kochelo sochelo, we would have understood the context. It's only referring to behema not chaya. We wouldn't have extended over to chaya. And according to the Chachamim, I agree to davar la meminyano, but you're going too far. You're going now taking it from a lav and moving it over to a kareth. Ibai Sema, the Gemara gives another possible explanation. Hainu taimai de rabban kadamar le rav mar le rav zvid alamiata aya de chulin titzer. So let's say now that you have the fatty tail of a chulin animal, a chulin sheep. So maybe the Gemara is thinking right now it should be aser. So amar le alach hamakro kochel shor v'kesav eiz davar hashava b'shloshtam be'inam v'leka. So no, because the isra of chelav is only a universal chelav, only chelav that is found in all three animals. There is no chelav aliyah v'shor. There is no chelav aliyah v'neiz. And so therefore, the only chelav that's going to be aser is one that applies to all three. Hilchach, yasa shor v'kesav eiz, le mishrei aliyah d'chulin hu da'asa. As far as the pasuk is concerned, the pasuk is coming to teach us that shor kesav eiz is coming to permit the chelav of the aliyah of a chulin animal. Rav Yishmael amar lecha, im ken lamakra, lemakra kol chelav shor v'kesav. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what? You want universality? You want the idea that in order for chelav to be aser, it has to be in all animals? The Torah didn't need to give me three different types of animals. The Torah could have just simply said, shor v'kesef. Eiz lamali, shma minal chalik. The reason why the Torah adds the third animal is for the purpose of chiluk. I'm Rabbi Chanina, Modi Rabbi Shmuel, Linyan Karben Shein, Mevi Alachat Asachas. Now, as much as Rabbi Shmuel says that there are three separate Yisurim for the chelav of a shor, and the chelav of a kesef, and the chelav of an eiz, and Rabbi Shmuel says that if you are going to eat all three and you were given asra, and it was only even only one asra, you're going to be chayav three sets of malchus. That for Rabbi Shmuel is true. When it comes to the carbon chatas, Rabbi Shmuel yields the floor to the chachamim. You're only going to bring one carbon chatas. My tamid lo dami hadein lav lalav darayas. So the Gemara says it really short, really succinctly, but the Gemara says, you know what? It's not like a rayas. Now, what is the Gemara making reference to? What we learned in yesterday's daf. And the first off, the Masechta. Went by Arayus, how does the Torah present the Isurim of Arayus? It's Lav, followed by another Lav, followed by another Lav. And the Torah gives individual Lavim for all the separate Arayus. At the end, the Torah says, and if you do any of the above, so you're going to be subject to Kares. So there, each of the Lavim is framed, each of the Isurim is framed with its own separate Lav. And then Kares at the end tells us that each one of them separately is Kares. And that means that if a person violates all of them, Behelam Echad, so you're going to be Chayiv on each one of them. In Chayiv what? Not only Malkus, but you're going to be Chayiv of Karban Chatzos as well. But over here, even within Rabbi Shmuel's Limud, right? Say, this is a subtlety. Even within Rabbi Shmuel's Limud, that the separate Chalavim of Shor Kesef and Eiz are individualized, but only legabe the lav, not legabe the chatas. Because it's not the way it was presented by Arayus. It's not lav, follow them by lav, then followed by, and if you do any of the above, you're going to be subject to kares. It's one lav, and then example, and then kares at the end. So vis-a-vis the malchus, you talk about a real subtlety. Vis-a-vis the malchus, it's, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's three separate malchus. But vis-a-vis the chatas, it's only one chatas. If a person ate all three. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Shmuel is Amalei. I'm a Rabbi Chanina. I read it. I'm just going to reread it. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Mod Rabbi Shmuel le'in karmen she'in mevi alachatz zachas my temel odami hadein la'lav da'arayus. Tan Rabbanan. Let's start with the following brisa. Va'asa achas va'asa heina la'chayv akol achas va'achas she'im achol chela v'chela she'im echad b'shnei halamos chayv shtayim. Possibilities of generating multiple Isurim by repeating an Isur. So the classic way which the Brisa opens up with is Shtei Halamos. You know the Chayv was Aser. And you just woke up one morning and you forgot, you lapsed. So, and you ate the Chayv. Okay, that's a Karban Chatas. Then you remembered, I ate Chayv. And Chayv is Aser. You remembered, and then you lapsed once again. So, if it's in Shnei Halamos, if it's two separate states of unawareness, so that's Mechalik. And so therefore, you'd be Chayv Shtayim for the two actions. Two Karban Chatzos. Shnei Shemos Behalamecha, Chayv Shtayim. Now, if it's Shnei Shemos Behalamecha, you're going to be Chayv Shtayim. Now, that last part of the braisa, that requires clarification. In the first part of the braisa, like I explained, so that's shtei alamos, that's going to be mechalek, we all get it. It's a basic rule regarding dividing separate actions if it's done in separate alamos. Elo shnei shemos ba'alam echad, amai. But shnei shemos, in one halam, if I do iser in one halama, repeat iser in same halama, you shouldn't be chayiv two, you should be chayiv one. So chayiv shtayim habi'ina ba'alamos mechalakas v'leka. So amar lei hacha b'mai skin and kagon da'achal chelev denosar, de'mechayiv mishum nosar mishum mechelev. So the Gemara suggests the following pshat. Maybe it's not just chalev, but it's chalev of nosar. Which means, if it's nosar, that means it was a carbon. Carbon was offered. Chalev was not offered up on the mizbeach like it should have been. It was left off the mizbeach. Next day, it's nosar. And so it's chalev and it's nosar. Now, if you're thinking about it, you realize it's also something else. It's carbon. But the Gemara is going to make that point. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Amalei imkein echayev nami mishum kodesh. So the Gemara says, okay, so now you ate chalev of nosar. So that's one iser karis for the chalev. A second iser karis for the nosar. I can also think of a third iser. And that is, you're a moab hektish.
It's not karis.
Agreed. It's going to be asher me'ilos. So it'll bring about another carbon. You're right. It's not a carbon chatas, but it'll bring about another carbon. So, ela amr of sheshes kagon da'achal chalev de hektish. So the Gemara says, okay, so we are going to go back to the pshat of the braisa. We're going to offer another pshat. The pshat we're going to offer is chelav dehektesh. Chelav dehektesh. So that means to say that there are two isurim now. One, the isur of chelav. Two, the isur of meila. And so that's why the braisa says chayiv shtayim. Rav Yehudi d'tanya achal chelav nevela achal chelav mukdashim chayiv shtayim. So you are going to be chayiv two for eating the chelav of hektesh, as you would be for the chelav of nevela as well. Rav Yehuda Omer Chelav Mukdashim Lokesh Shalosh. And according to Rav Yehuda, you're not going to be Chayiv 2, you're going to be Chayiv 3. Now, that obviously requires a better understanding. Why are you going to be Chayiv 3? So, Mechaychu Ala B'ma Rava. So, in Eretz Yisrael, so they were listening to our discussion about this Braisa. They were really enjoying themselves as they were going over the way the Bavliim said over the Pshat and the Braisa. V'nukma Kagon Chelav Deshur V'kesa V'ez Rav Yishmal Hidam Lokesh Shalosh. So in Eretz Yisrael, they said, you know, you're looking for a scenario where a person's eating chalev and eating chalev and eating chalev, and it was halam echad, and you're looking now for a way to explain the braisa. Why don't we, in other words, just say what we've been saying all morning. The Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, right, which he's a Tana, and the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel is that you would be chayev on three different counts for the three different chalavim. And so therefore, let's just say that's the pshat in the end of the braisa. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, they think that's such a good pshat. Ama lo ukma k'Rabbi Shmuel. Now, clearly in Bavel, they didn't like that pshat. In Eretz Yisrael, they offered it. But in Bavel, they didn't like that pshat, as we are now in the top of the next Amud. So the Gemara says, Da'am Rabbi Chanina Modai Rabbi Shmuel Le'inyin Karben She'enu Chayiv Alechata Osachas. Now, this works perfectly with what we said just moments earlier. Because we quoted B'Shem Rabbi Chanina, that Rabbi Shmuel, even though he's mechalek legabe malkus, he's not going to be mechalek legabe karben chatas. And therefore, in Bavel, you can't offer that pshat, because the braisa was talking about how many karben chatas are you going to be chayiv. Even if I assign the braisa to be authored by Rabbi Shmuel, you're only going to be chayiv one karben chatas. That's why it's not going to work. Le'in karben she'enu chayiv ele chatas achas. Ha'asha nami ka Rabbi Yehuda lo mitukma. So the Gemara says, so as much as we can't have the braisa going like Rabbi Shmuel, for the reason we just explained, can't work like Rabbi Yehuda as well. Rabbi Yehuda also subscribes to the same basic idea, meaning there may be a division regarding Malkus and the ownership of Malkus, but there's not going to be any division legabi the Karben Chatas. Ela Amar Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Tutiani Hacha B'Ma'iskinen Kegon She'achlem B'Shnei Tamchuyin V'Alibed Rabbi Yeshua Damar Tamchuyin Mechulakim. So we have to say a pshat. The braisa, it's a braisa. We have to say a pshat. How can I eat chalev, repeat the same act, behalam echad, and be chayiv multiple times? So the Gemara says, okay, it's not Rabbi Shmuel, it's not Rabbi Yehuda. It is the sheet of Rabbi Yehoshua. We haven't seen him yet in the Masechta. First time we're being introduced to Rabbi Yehoshua, and that's the idea of tamchuin mechulakim. If I eat the same food, prepared in two different ways, one's cooked, the other's roasted, and right, literally it means on separate plates. But the plates are important. the way it's prepared also is important. So if they are prepared in two different ways, so that is going to be considered two separate Isurim. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shua, you're going to be Chayv Shtayim, even if it was Behalam Echad. And therefore, that would be the Braisa. Let's go a little bit further this morning. Gufa. Achal Chaylev Nevela Lokishtayim. If you eat Chaylev of Nevela, that's subject to two sets of Makos. Chaylev Mugdashim Lokishtayim. The Chaylev of Hektesh. That's two sets of Makos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chaylev Mugdashim Lokishalosh. And he says not two, but rather three. What's the Pshat? I'm the Reb Shizbil Rav Abishlam, the Reb Yehuda Haina Dixi Vikra. So Reb Yehuda, actually, I understand him. You know your Pesukim? You get it. Chukas Olam Kol Chelev, Shor V'Ketzaveiz Lo So Chelu, V'Chozor La Yochol Kodesh. So Hatas Elavin. So by eating the Chelev of Hekdesh, so there are three Isurim there that one has violated. Pesuk in Parshas Vayikra, Pesuk in Parshas Tzav, and a Pesuk in Parshas Emor. So those are three separate Isurim. Ella Rabban Maitama. So the Gemara says, now according to the Chachamim, you only chayv two. So Kasar lav de chukas olam bekadashim, velav de chelav shor bechulin. So yes, it's true. There's a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra. There's a pasuk in Parshas Tzav, both prohibiting chelav. It's not the same chelav they're prohibiting. The one of them is prohibiting the chelav of hekdesh, and the other is prohibiting the chelav of chulin. Utsricha. Now, by the way, mind you, by the way, it's so fascinating because if you look at both of those psukim in context, you will see both those psukim are talking about carbon. The Gemara is going to make that observation. But right now, the Gemara is saying that it's not both talking about the chelav of Hekdesh. Utsricha di'i kas rachman begadashim hava min hakadashim hu dechamiri da'asar chelbo avachula ne'malo. If the Torah only told me about the isser of chelav as it relates to Hekdesh, so then I would have made the argument, there... It's carbon. It's sensitive, and the chelav is going to be aser. But maybe chulin, no. Maybe it wouldn't be aser. So hachi kasav rechmana kol chelav shor. That's why I need the next series of psukim to tell me, next pasuk to tell me that even the chelav of a chulin is going to be aser. V'ikas of kol chelav shor have min chelav de chulin hu daaser mishum de lo hutter mechlalo. Ava chelav de mukdashim de hutter mechlalo have min amid de hutter bisran ishtari nami chelban tzricha. And if the Torah only would have told me that the chelav of chulin would be aser, I'd say that the chelav of karban is not going to be aser because of hutter michlalo. Now, generally speaking, hutter michlalo means that at one point in time it's going to be mutter. Now, what's the heter of chelav when it comes to a karban? Not super clear. Could be that the heter is just simply that I put it up onto the mizbeach and quote unquote the mizbeach consumes it. Could be the pshat. But in any regard, the Gemara is saying that I need the iser of chelav to be introduced both by Hekdesh, by Kachim, and by Chulin. And so therefore, it doesn't result now in two separate, in two repeated Isurim, but rather it's two separate Isurim. Rav Yehuda Savar Ki Ksiv Chelav Shor Bin Yana De Kachim Ksiv. Now Rav Yehuda's response is, I don't understand, of course they're both referring to Kachim. Look at the context. The context of the Pasuk in Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, by carbon. The Pasuk in the Parsha of Tzav, also carbon. So they're both referring to carbon. And so, therefore, that results in two isurim, two lavim. Ela mechlal de rabban sarver lo yafin and davar lamei minyano. And the Gemara says, now this, of course, begs the question: how can you argue with that? Rav Yehuda is right. Both of those psukim are said in the context of karban. So the Chachamim said one's for chulin, the other one's for kachim. He doesn't subscribe to davar lamei minyano. So the Gemara says de kulei ama yafin and davar lamei minyano. Everyone subscribes to this idea. And the Gemara says basically what we said on the Amud Aleph. Yes, it's true. Context is very important. Context is powerful. Context is going to drive the halacha. However, how far is it going to drive it? That becomes the issue over here. If we're going from a lav to another lav, that's fine. But to go from just a lav to now an Isser Kares, so that to that degree, that now becomes the Nekudah Machlokis in terms of whether David Halame Minyano is going to take us that far. Tanya. Let's do a little bit more this morning. The Torah says not to eat chelav. The Torah says not to eat dam. Ma chelav lo kishtayim ab dam lo kishtayim. For chelav, it's going to be subject to two sets of malchus. For dam, also two sets of malchus. Divrei Rav Yehuda. The Chachamim Omrim ein bo ela azara achas. And the Chachamim say it's one azara. Now, Maishan Chelav de Lokishtayim below Hekesha de Kasav Beitrei Krai. Kol Chelav v'chol dam lo se Chelav, kol Chelav shor v'kesev. So, As far as the two malkios for chelev, we have two psukim. The Gemara went through both. Dam nami belav hekesha nilkishtayim. Now, as far as dam is concerned as well, so we have two psukim for dam. Dechse beitrei lavim kol chelev v'chol dam lo sechelu v'chol dam lo sechelu v'chol moshu asechem la ofla behema. So we have two psukim for dam as well. So already we have two for both. Ela ema machelev lo kishalosh avdam lo kishalosh. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to have to say the following, that for chelev you're subject to three malkios according to Rav Yehuda, and for dam it's going to be three. Maishan chelev de lo kishalosh dechse bei halein trei lavin v'lav dezaros. Because when it comes to eating the chelev of a karban, the two psukim that we just went over, and on top of that, you're not a kohen eating karban. So fine. So that is going to be, and by the way, when we're talking about zaros over here, we're talking about the chelev. So, right, we can go even a step further, meaning even a kohen is a zar, legabe the chelev. So anyway, so it's dedicated for the mizbeach. So you are going to be subject to the two lavim of chelev and the two psukim that we just went through. And on top of that, it's carbon. So hatlasa dam nami itzrich. So the Gemara says, hatlasa, that is three. Dam nami itzrich sakadach amina hol the ismai dam mituma lismais mizaros. So the Gemara says, well, by blood, I could have made the following argument. That maybe, as far as dam is concerned, dam is not incorporated in the isser of tuma. We'll see more about that a little bit later. So therefore, maybe it's also going to be excluded from the isser of zaros as well. Kamash malan hekesha. The hekesh tells us that whatever is true regarding chelev is going to be true regarding dam. By chelev, according to Rabbi Huda, three lavim. By dam also, it's going to be three lavim. So fine. So now we have pshat in Rabbi Huda. When a person eats the chelev of a karban, three lavim. When a person eats the dam of a karban, three lavim. El rabban and hekesh lamayasa. But according to the chachamim, what's the purpose of the hekesh? Mi bai lelechet datanya. So for the chachamim, the hekesh is there to provide a different purpose. And that is kol chelev v'chol dam lo sochelu machelev miyuchad shechal bo chaluk mi besaro ve'ein mitzarfim ze im ze. The chelev and the basar are not going to be mitzarf. They are two separate entities, two separate isurim. Avdam shedam o chaluk mi besaro. The same thing is going to be true regarding the dam and the basar. They are two separate entities, two separate isurim, and therefore not combinable. Otzi dam shiratzim hol de'ein dam chaluk mi besaran mitzarfin. So the Gemara says, and as far as an exclusion is concerned, that's not true when it comes to Dam Sheretz. Dam Sheretz is such a part of the Sheretz, so therefore Dam and Sheretz are considered one entity, one Isser. The Dam and the Sheretz will combine. Will combine as we're going to articulate in just a moment. Legabe the Isser Achila, and also by Tuma as well. The Gemara says, you know, I know it based on another limud. Vizelachem hatamei. Limit dam sheretz v'asher shem mitzarfin zeim ze. Dam sheretz combines with the sheretz itself. Ilav de akesha sakadach amina hav amina l'tuma. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you're right. That limud is good and it's important, but it only takes us so far. If I only had that limud of the brace that we just quoted, azdeyilach lachem atamei, I would have said that the dam sheretz and the sheretz do combine, but that's only vis-a-vis tuma. If you look in context of that pasuk in Parsha Shmini is talking about the tuma of a sheretz. Aval le'achila emalo. Ashminan hekesh la'achila. The hekesh is there coming to teach me about the achila. That if a person were to eat the sheretz and the dam of the sheretz with the sheretz, so not only is it a tzirif legabe tuma, it's a tzirif legabe achila as well. We're going to pause over here. Thank you for the indulgence. These dapim increases are long. So it's just going to take a little bit of time to get through it. Okay, the Daf Dalu, so we covered this morning, we concluded the discussion between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What is a Maisa, what is not considered a Maisa, Bein Lashitas Rabbi Kiva, Bein Lashitas Chachamim, and based on that, an understanding of our Mishnah, of what the Chachamim are ready to exclude from the Mishnah, because it's not a Maisa. Megadiv is certainly off the table. What about Ov? Maybe it was a discussion in the Gemara. We continued in the Gemara discussing the Isser of Chelev. The Isser of Chelev, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is differentiated. The Chelev Shor Ketzav and Ezer are three separate Isurim, three separate Lavim, and the Chachamim don't agree. And the Gemara had a lengthy ensuing discussion regarding a better understanding of the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel and the Shita of the Chachamim. At the end of the Amud Aleph, we continued our discussion regarding Chelev. Rabbi Shmuel will yield the floor that when it comes to Echatas, so it's not to be differentiated. Chelev Shor Ketzav and Ezer have differentiated Lagabe Malkus, but not regarding Echatas. And the Gemara discussed that a little bit more as well. And finally, the conclusion of the daf today, you eat the chalav of a carbon, how many isurim are you going to be subject to? So Rabbi Yehuda says three, the Chachamim say two, and the Gemara's explanation of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim.